myself, humble myself before you. I'm just a jar of clay. Lord, you've hidden this treasure in earthen vessels, as Paul said, Lord. You, Christ in us, is the hope of glory. It's not us, but it's Christ in us. Christ being seen, Christ being known, Christ being manifested, Christ being formed on the inside of us, Christ being revealed. Let Christ be formed on the inside of us, in our inner man, Lord. And I pray that as I submit and decrease, as John the Baptist said, there's one coming after me that is greater than I, that I am not worthy to untie the sandals that he carries, that I must decrease so that he might increase. Lord, I'm asking you for that same prayer. That's the same prayer in my heart right now in this moment, that I would decrease, that Christ Jesus would increase, and that people would encounter the living, exalted Christ. Like Isaiah saw him high and lifted up, the train of his robe filling the temple. Lord, we want to encounter the living Christ, Lord. We want to encounter the living Christ for who he really is. And we want to see you for who you really are, Lord. And so I'm asking for a release of your glory in this place, and that the presence of the Lord would come in such a strong weightiness, God. The glory of God, even the glory means kabod, which means glory. It means weightiness, God. That the spirit of the fear of the Lord would fall in this place. Even in Isaiah 11, it talks about that there would be a root coming up out of Jesse, and that the seven spirits of the Lord would rest upon Jesus. We ask for that same manifestation, Lord, the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the spirit of the fear of the Lord would come and rest in this place and manifest, that you would manifest yourself, Holy Spirit, in those dimensions. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. All right. Well, if you have your Bibles today, I'm going to speak to you on a topic that the Lord's given me a while back, a message called The Power of Revelation. There's power in revelation, knowledge. So turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 19. I'm going to read it and jump into this. Oh, thank you, Lord. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out, "Samuel." "Yes," Samuel replied. "What is it?" He got up and ran to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you," Eli replied. "Go back to bed." So he did. Then the Lord called out again, "Samuel." Again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you, my son," Eli said. "Go back to bed." Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" Then Eli realized what was happening. It was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, "Go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back to bed. And the Lord came and called as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel replied, "Speak, your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "I am about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I'm going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from beginning to end. I have warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't disciplined them. So I vow that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifices or offerings." Samuel stayed in bed until morning, then got up and opened the doors of the tabernacle as usual. He was afraid to tell Eli. He was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had said to him. But Eli called out to him, "Samuel, my son." "Here I am," Samuel replied. "What did the Lord say to you? Tell me everything. And may God strike you and even kill you if you hide anything from me." So Samuel told Eli everything. He didn't hold anything back. "It is the Lord's will," Eli replied. "Let him do what he thinks best." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and everything Samuel said proved to be reliable. And all Israel, from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh and gave messages to Samuel there at the tabernacle. And Samuel's words went out to all the people of Israel. Amen. So, when we look at the context, when we look at this passage, we see that in those days, the scripture said that the word of the Lord was rare. So this means that there was no open heaven in that time, in the sense of where revelation was flowing, where people were having dreams, where they were having visions, where messages from the Lord were coming forth. When there isn't an open heaven in our lives or in our churches or in our city, there becomes a lack of revelation knowledge. We see this that when Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1 in verses 17 and 19, Paul writes, he says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe." It's a powerful prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus. And that's something that we can pray. But what he's saying is that revelation shows us more of who God wants to be for us. It shows us his purposes and his plans for our lives. It shows us his purposes and his plans for our churches, for our communities, and even for our nation and the nations of the earth. I believe that God wants to reveal to you as an individual and as a family and as a church his heart and his mind so that you can partner with it, so you can partner with him in what he is revealing. So, in the absence of revelation, this is a point that I just want to point out, is that in the absence of revelation, sin has a different status as it does in the presence of revelation. I'm going to say that again. In the absence of revelation, sin has a different status as it does in the presence of revelation. So what did I mean by that? So when there isn't any revelation of God, when there isn't any manifestation of God, sin has a different status. Sin has complete control in our lives when revelation is absent. And what I mean by that is that people, when there's no revelation, people become bored. And then when people become bored, they begin to sin. When we are idle, sin tends to have power in our lives. However, when God begins to send and release revelation about who he is or about something that he is going to do in the near future, let's say, or even in the distant future, in your personal life or in your family life or in the church or in a city, then things start to become exciting. There becomes a freshness. There becomes this like enthusiasm, and things in the atmosphere become almost electric or charged. You start to receive fresh energy. You become more inspired. And you receive that. You become more like that because revelation is present, because God is speaking. Because there's, when God speaks, there's authority, there's power, there's a momentum, there's an acceleration, there's an excitement in your spirit. There's faith that rises, there's a confidence that rises that wasn't there before when revelation wasn't present or when revelation wasn't flowing in our midst. And so therefore, there's a revelation gives us that ability to see God, to know God, to understand who he is in a greater way, to receive from him what he wants to do. Even in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, if you look at Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, it's a scripture that a lot of people quote, but it truly, it says, my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priests. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I also would ignore your children. So, and other versions of scripture say that, okay, my people are destroyed because of a lack of vision, or they cast off restraint, some say. So, if you take that word, knowledge, in this verse, it can also be exchanged for revelation. So, my people perish or cast off restraint because of a lack of vision, because of a lack of revelation, because there's nothing that is that they're going towards. There's no momentum. There's no forwardness. Revelation pushes you forward. It pushes you forward into what God has called you to, pushes you forward into your destiny. It pushes the church forward. So that's why we need revelation. Cast off restraint means to basically means like you just kind of, almost like I said earlier about being bored, you just kind of, almost like apathy. You become apathetic to things. You become apathetic to what is going on in your life. You become apathetic even sometimes to the things of God. You become bored. You just cast off restraint. It's just like, okay. But if you have a vision, that gives you purpose. When you have revelation, it gives you purpose. It gives you something to move towards. Even if we look at in this scripture I just read about in 1 Samuel chapter 3, this is like the story of Eli and his sons. The Lord called Samuel. We see that God speaks to Samuel. Samuel didn't know the Lord. Samuel was young. He didn't have, the Lord is revealing himself to him through this word of judgment on the house of Eli. Can you imagine that? You know, this is the, like, the beginning, and so to speak, of Samuel's, like, prophetic calling and into the prophetic ministry. Your first prophetic word is a word of judgment to someone. How would you like that, right? Oh, my God. Like, if I really, I mean, like, man, that's a heavy thing, right? Hey, you called to the prophetic ministry. Here's the word I have for you. In the next couple of days, your sons are going to die. You're like, whoa. Man, are you sure that's the Lord? Is that you because you ate pizza last night? You know, like. But when we look at the story, Eli didn't discipline or correct his sons, even though he was God's priest. And this is there's an important element in this, in the sense that it was Eli's responsibility to, as priest, to discipline his sons. And because of that, because of that he didn't, that's when sin became rampant. That's the reason why the Lord is like, you know what? I've had enough. I'm releasing a judgment on his house. And even the scripture talks about, I believe that Eli, if we look at that, I'm pretty sure at that time, Eli actually was going blind. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. He was already going blind at that time. And even that shows you, when you look at that, what does blindness speak of? Speak of a lack of light. It's a lack of revelation. Eli had a lack of revelation of who God was. And why I say that? Because if he did, he would have corrected and disciplined his sons. Because if he would have had the revelation of a holy God, he would have took action to stop what his sons were doing. But because of his blindness, he was dealing with a physical blindness. He didn't do whatever he was called to do to take the responsibility. But that speaks to us even today, that the spiritual blindness that we can carry. We can, without light and understanding, we will walk around spiritually blind. And that is the reason why we need revelation. That is the reason why we need light. That's why it says that the lamp of God had not yet gone out. That shows us like, wow, okay, it was almost going out. The lamp of God in the tabernacle. The lamp of God represents illumination. It represents clarity. It represents light, understanding. That's what a lamp does. That's what light is. And so the reality is that it was already in that, so to speak, spiritually, in that time, in a dark, there was darkness. And I believe that even in this time, we're living in a time of spiritual darkness. We're living in a time of spiritual darkness in the culture around us, the world around us, in our society. It's darkness. I mean, there's always darkness. Even in the church, darkness is crept into the church. There's a lot of darkness. There's a lot of confusion. There's light. We need light. We need revelation. And the reason why I say this is because there's even a lot of mixture. There's a lot of, you know, deception that's crept into the body of Christ. And I wonder, is it because we're not having revelation in the light of who God is, seeing him for who he really is, and that we could actually we wouldn't be hindered. We wouldn't be dealing with what we're dealing with, is basically. I believe that in this season, in the body of Christ, and this is just prophetically, I sense, is that I believe that God is turning the tables. And what I mean by that, that's just a phrase I use. And what I'm saying is I believe that God's turning the tables on certain church leaders. And that's just what I sense prophetically. And what I mean by that is that God is going to start to remove people out of different positions of authority, just like God removed Eli. Eli was the priest. Eli had authority in the house of God, but he didn't take up his duty. And God is wanting to remove the modern day Elis in his house that don't have a sense of the fear of the Lord, that don't have a sense of the holiness of the Lord, that everything is happy clappy. There's no confrontation of a lifestyle that people are living that is in sin. There is a lack of respect for the Lord. And no wonder revelation isn't happening. No wonder we're not seeing, because of that, because of our attitude, our heart attitude, because of the attitude of a lot of church leaders. I believe that God is wanting to establish a new order of leadership in his house. A heart, an order of leadership that will truly have God's heart, that will have his agenda as the first priority, in first place. It's almost the same as with David and Saul. That Saul order of leadership is being removed, and God is establishing a Davidic order in his house. Leaders that are humble, leaders that have a heart after God, heart after his presence, a heart after his purposes, a heart after what he wants to be accomplished. My next point is that when we look at, when I talk about the power of revelation, when revelation is flowing, people easily let go of sin and get caught up in the beauty of who God is and who they are in the light of his glory. And I can prove that to you in the scripture, what I'm saying. If you look at Isaiah 6, I'm going to turn there. We're going to read that. Isaiah 6. 1 through 7. So, it was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. I'm going to pause at that. I want to In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. There's so much even in that. Just, I saw the Lord. Let's just contemplate. Sometimes we don't even, I do this myself. I'm guilty of this myself. We just read over it and we don't even stop to really contemplate or do a Selah like David did in the Psalms, where it means to pause, to think, to reflect on it, what has just been spoken or said. I saw the Lord. This is Isaiah saying, I saw the Lord. May we see the Lord. Why don't you just speak to the Lord right now in this moment? Say, Lord, I want to see you. I want you to talk to the Lord. You have a relationship with the Lord. Speak out. Hey, Lord, I want to see you. I want to know you. I want to see you like Isaiah saw you. I want to encounter you like Ezekiel encountered you. These things that the prophets went through and what they lived and their experiences aren't just meant to be read. They're meant to be also part of our experience in our life. We can say, Lord, I want that. What's in the Bible is for me. Lord, we want to see you, Lord. So it was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they flew. They were calling out to each other, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. Others say, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Lord, we want to see you, Lord. God, make us tremble in your presence, Lord. Make us tremble. Make us tremble at your word, Lord. Make us tremble in your presence, Lord. God, we repent, Lord, of our laissez-faire attitudes, Lord, when we come to your house and we come into your presence, Lord. Of a casualty, Lord. There's a casualty sometimes. Even in my own heart, I repent in my own heart of a casualty that I have when it comes to you, Lord. A casualty, a flippancy in my heart, in my attitude that is not pleasing, Lord. Even the fact that just like when in the tabernacle, you had the outer court, you had the inner court, and then you had the outer court, you had the holy place, and then you had the most holy place. God, I thank you that in this time, in the season that we're living on the earth, you're raising up Christians, Lord, believers who are holy of holy Christians. People who are living from the inside out. They are living in that most holy place. Jesus, you have torn the veil through your own flesh on the cross. We have access, but that still doesn't mean we come flippantly. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your presence. Then I said, Isaiah says, then I said, it's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. I'm going to read the rest of the note to 8. It says, then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? I said, here I am, send me. When revelation is flowing, we easily let go of our sin. We see that there. Isaiah, he had the revelation. The Lord came to him. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. And the Lord, there was first of all an acknowledgement of who he was, where he was at, his status. and then of sin and everything. And then came the cleansing. Then came that cleansing fire. Then that came that the seraphim coming. He saw the beauty of Jesus. He saw the beauty of the majesty of God, the glory of God. He saw, and that's what, when revelation, when we see God, when we have revelation, we let go. We're not bored. We're not caught up in the things that totally keep us caught up in our daily life or in our cares of the world or sin or whatever it may be. You can put whatever you want in there and insert it. But we get caught up in who God is. We get to see him in the light of his own glory. So there's power. There's power in revelation. There's a power in seeing who God is. There's a power in us being able to recognize, okay, what are you doing, Lord? I want to do what you want me to do. I want to receive what you want us to receive. We want to partner with what you're doing. Yeah, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. But thank you, Lord, that the word of the Lord is, even in these days, Lord, I pray that the word of the Lord would not be rare. That your revelation of Jesus Christ, the revelation of who he is, the revelation of your purposes and your plans, Lord, that you have in this season would be manifested. And so, Lord, I pray even right now, Lord, Father, for revelation, Lord. I pray for revelation in this house, Lord. I pray for an impartation of a revelation. First and foremost, a revelation of Jesus Christ in his glory, in his fullness, Lord. Maybe just give us a glimpse, a grasp of that. Give us a weight of that. And then secondly, give us revelation, Holy Spirit, of the plans and purposes of Jesus Christ, his heart, his mind, his will, his intentions, what he has on his heart for us as individuals and as this church. And so, Lord, I pray for revelation. Thank you that prophecy, we talked about prophecy this weekend, Lord, and prophecy is part of prophecy is just revelation, God revealing something that has to do with the future, something that has to do with his intentions, his purpose, what's on his heart, what's on his mind. So Lord, I pray for your counsel, Holy Spirit, the counsel of the Lord in this house. I pray that this, from this time forth, Lord, after this weekend, that this house, this church, this family would walk in greater levels of revelation, greater levels of the prophetic anointing. I pray that the prophetic anointing be stirred up in this house in Jesus' name. I ask for a release, Lord, that you've given me, Lord, as you called me, Lord, in your kingdom as a prophet, Lord. I ask for you to release that same, that mantle, Lord. It's Jesus's mantle. Jesus was the prophet, and his mantle he released. He left on earth when he ascended. That mantle would be released in this house, Lord, in a greater dimension. Lord, that your kingdom purposes, what you have for this house, Lord, that they would be able to pick up on it. They would be able to perceive it. That they would be on the same frequency, Lord, as you. They would hear your voice. They would walk in your ways, Lord. Walk into the fullness of the destiny that you have, that you have for them. I pray for that inheritance. You guys have an inheritance in this house. And Lord, I pray for the inheritance that you have to be fully apprehended. That's what I pray. To be fully apprehended. So Lord, I just thank you for that. I thank you for that. I pray for the release of that. I pray for a release of dreams and visions. Lord, I pray for a release even of angelic encounters, visitations, Lord. I'm asking for a release of the still small voice of the Lord. I'm asking for the release of impressions, Lord, in the spirit. A release of sudden thoughts, Lord. A release of words of knowledge, Lord, words of wisdom. Lord, I'm asking for the release, Lord, of discernment. Lord, I'm asking for the many ways in which you speak, Lord, that you would release that prophetic anointing in this house and let it be stay in this house. Let it be established in this house. Let it grow and mature in this house, Lord, I pray. And I thank you for it. I thank you for it. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Well, that's, we can transition into maybe some ministry time. That's pretty much